Actually, I'm doing pretty good this morning. I decided to stay under 20 beers yesterday.
The Sunday Skypers. A RPG actual play podcast.
So how many months has it been since we last played?
Four, three? I don't know. It's been a while.
So somewhere in the deep and dark, someone has to explain what the hell we've been up to.
I had an idea for how to do that, and I think I mentioned it weeks ago, possibly months ago, at some point when one of the sessions fell apart before it started. Which is really that I had an idea for you to pick a belief or two beliefs and then think about a situation or an obstacle or a threat to the expedition or your path to Scoria that your character somehow solved, right? So we can have a little, you know, you can have a little descriptive narration of a scene or a situation that you solved, and then you get a persona point for the trouble, which you may come to need in the future.
How loquacious are we to be with this?
You can be as terse as saying, you know, I did this, which allowed us to traverse this bit, and I probably used tunnel-wise for that, right? So you can work a few elements into it.
Okay. So how long is this fast-forward going to be?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I should have mentioned that right away. We're going to do a week's time jump, so you are about halfway into the stretch into off to Scoria, right? And we're probably going to do more of these time jumps in future sessions in this season of sessions, right?
So tell me, what did you do to your children?
What?
Oh, too big of a jump?
Not that bad, but...
Rory's still laid up.
He was quite badly injured. Didn't quite get the treatment in time. You did make sure, I think, that it didn't go completely haywire. Or, I mean...
He's not going to be missing a leg.
No. There will be no amputations. However lovely and delightful that would have been in the middle of a tunnel underground with your physician.
Just like being back home. Okay, yeah. Here, take a bite of this. What is it? Don't worry. It helps kill the pain. Well, no, it doesn't, but you know. You should be screaming.
And biting the physician.
Yeah. And I think I did say that there is 2 weeks from the beer being ready for serving, so we're getting on short rations at this point.
Right, but consider also, and this is something you can work in your bit of like mm-hmm. Problem narration. You have a belief, I think.
I had a belief.
You had a belief.
I have eye placeholder.
I think we talked about at least briefly in the last session about writing a belief about finding caches of stores.
Okay, I can quickly edit my sheet and put that in.
Yes,
I will try to. No, I will try to find. There you go. That's better. See, I will try to find.
No. I must find a way to supply the Dwarven Expedition or something like that. So you leave it a little open
and
give yourself an imperative like I gotta do this, or else we'll go dry. Imagine that.
Sober dwarves.
The whole machinery of the dwarven culture grinds to a halt. People will begin to stab each other and eat dogs. And
this is how wars start.
Yes. People will be, you know, the dwarves will be looking at each other's portions and everyone will begin to test and greed.
There we go. I must find a way to provide ale to the prince's company.
Excellent.
Let's go look up healing rules so I can figure out how long Rory's going to be laid up because he didn't actually. Nothing was broken. I think it was just a good sprain. I think.
Did I define damage type?
I don't think you did.
No, it was more color at that time. I'm going to define that. I'm going to say he's still laid up. He can limp about with like a crutch, but he still has a way to go to be fully recovered. Yeah. I'm just going to leave it at that for now.
There's nothing in here on healing. There's health, but nothing in healing.
Well, it depends on the type of injury you get. For instance, the prince's injury, which I'm going to fast forward because I'm a nice person, would have, because he failed his health tests repeatedly, would have suffered the full extent of healing for his injury, which would have been at least 2 weeks. But I think, you have a physician with you and stuff. So for the next stretch here on out, I'm going to erase that. I'm going to consider you cured.
We're going to put him up with the scouts and make him walk it off.
I mean, you've had access to the last beer, and you've had fresh spring water full of minerals and necessary antioxidants. I don't know.
Well, no, just the minerals, that's like dwarven vitamins right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Here, gnaw on this shank of iron. That'll do you some good.
And I might share.
I love that. So we have to put that in the praxis of the dwarven chirurgeons. Like, it's common practice to give people a coin of iron to sort of gnaw on.
Like an all-day sucker.
Right.
Like some guy chewing tobacco, but only it's a 2 ounce iron coin in his cheek.
Choose one of these and call upon the interesting. Yes.
And it's not a solid coin. It actually has holes in it, so you get more iron out of it faster. So you want us to do like a little what we did last week?
It's a tangly, twisted load of tunnels and underway bypasses and so on and so forth that you've been crawling through and natural caverns and so on. It's probably had a bunch of different obstacles.
That sounds like Flint's intro right there, because between tunnel-wise and foraging for these caches and the safety of the party as his primary concern, if he might see the shortest route is not the most safest route. So it's like, oh, this tunnel's in terrible condition. It'll collapse if we run a beer wagon through it. We're going to have to take this obnoxious detour.
Imagine one obstacle that prevented your ongoing expedition to Scoria that your Flint solved, and it should hopefully pertain to one of his beliefs. And, say how you came upon it and how you solved it for everyone.
I say his shrewd tunnel-wise skill revealed a hazardous situation. And he was so concerned about the party that he forbid anyone from traveling down that path.
All right. That's cool and mysterious. Possibly hazardous path. Avoid it.
Absolutely. Because a dwarf or a scout might be able to walk down it. And we may send one down just to make sure that there's no surprises waiting for us. But there's no way we can send a whole wagon train through it.
Cool.
It's just as you walk, little bits of stone and gravel fall from the ceiling. And you go, and it's just like, don't talk so loud.
What?
Reverberating throughout the tunnel. All right, cool.
Well, next.
Stop. You have earned yourself a persona point.
Mm. He's still grousing about the tunnel that we had to leave.
You mean the vault that we left?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Talking funny?
Now, besides that, the wealth of information and lore that it's just waiting for someone to pick up.
But, it's talking funny.
Andrew, who actually looked at some of the lore, was just like, it was nothing important. Just, we'll.
That place was a wrong place. It was nothing but death and betrayal and madness.
It should be sealed away for safety.
Yes.
Along with all the deans and other
dangerous
things. I
can see Flint just giving him that disbelieving look. So, you seriously don't mean that, do you?
Besides, I found a way out. I found a way out of the place to the outside of the mountain.
It drove dwarves mad into a homicidal frenzy, so it was best no one goes there again. You two were hearing things. Or those other dwarves obviously killed each other. It was not a place that anyone should visit.
I'm sure a proper priestly exorcism would settle the spirits.
Lad, you'd have to burn the place with molten iron to cleanse it.
Yeah.
He rubs his chin. That would take a lot of iron. Anywho, enough daydreaming.
Whoever is feeling up for the next bit of obstacle narration solution persona earning, go.
Well, I guess follow on from Flint's if the path we were going to go down is too dangerous, then I use my cartography and start going over maps. And, oh, wait, if we go up a level here, we can cross over this dangerous bit on this other lesser-known path and then come back to it farther down.
Cool. That would certainly dovetail into I must lead the Dwarven Expedition to Scoria. So far, it's been avoiding dangerous tunnels. Have yourself a persona point.
It's not quite a belief, but it is probably a goal of Flint. During the week, he'll just be chatting up Bruna, just trying to get in her good graces.
Sharing a bedroll.
I don't think the relationship has gone that far, and personally, I don't want to have, like, large quarrel holes in my chest.
Yet.
Well, yeah.
Is this just something that you've done? Or
something as I'm visualizing us spending all this time walking through these tunnels, Flint likes to talk. And if he has to choose someone to talk to, is it boring scouting reports? Or is it Bruna Ravenwife and her talking about this, that, and the other thing, and how Kolb the Old is not quite as bad as you think, and all that?
There's an awful lot of Fandral in there. Which may or may not grate on your nerves. We'll see.
Yeah. I also figure, okay, I just had a thought here. So, yeah, occasionally I'll be looking over Fandral's shoulder at his maps, and I would notice these little markers, and I say, "What are those?" And they said, "Oh, those are old way stations. We're going to avoid those." So in the middle of the night, me and several apprentices mount up, grab some weapons, and we head to one of those way stations just to see if there's anything in them that we can use.
Interesting.
So the first one is basically just a wreck. Goblins had gotten to it a long time ago, and they basically trashed it. But there was indication there was beer barrels here at one time. So we're thinking maybe the next one's intact. But I'm not going to, blow my belief right now. I'm not going to solve my belief right now. That's good stuff.
This is just a patch. Consider it a patch if that's where the way you're going.
Yeah, this is a patch. Yeah, this is basically so. Should I?
So you wouldn't have run short before now, right? So did you find a beer in the next way station then? Since you actually, it's part of the narration to say a way that you actually helped the expedition.
So yeah, the next one we did find that there was a couple kegs in there. And, we're talking that stretches out for a day. It's not perfect, but hey, it's a day longer before we got to think about doing a short beer.
Even though you don't have a day and night cycle, I can see the shift slowing down toward the resting hours. The brewers, the apprentices are all like sooting their faces and darkening their axes over fires and then sneaking off into the tunnels.
Yeah, right past the scouts who are escorting us to the way station.
probably with a few nods because they really want their beer.
Yeah.
So does Fandral get a roll to notice that we have a different brew available that we didn't have before?
You know, he expects his orders to be followed. I'm not sure. You know, if he said that we're not going there, it's too dangerous. If he did that, then
did you do that?
Why would I?
I don't know. Would you say it's not worth it?
Maybe it's too far out of the way.
Could be.
Well, maybe you spotted them and asked for what are those, and then you sort of kept your own counsel instead of
talking
instead of putting
Fandral.
Words in Fandral's mouth.
Yeah, that worked better. Yeah. So we think we're doing, but we're still doing the black, the sooty faces and the blackened weapons.
Of course. Just to be safe.
Yeah.
And possibly if you had some goblin dung left over, you know.
Probably get rid of that a long time ago. It burns really well.
on the skin, yes. Yeah.
No, as fuel.
Yes, I know.
Or in goblins, for that matter.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Fandral, you are just now recuperating, or you have just now recuperated fully from your near
poisoning.
Your definitely irritating poisoning. And your physician is there in your little, I don't want to say hidey hole, but in this temporary camp you are situated in now, halfway between the princedoms. You have been given not a tent, but you've been given up an area that's partitioned off with a canvas from wagons and so forth. And you have your field bed or whatever, you know, you've caught and your all your necessary stuff, your armor stand for whatever you happen to not be in it. All the necessary chronicles and charts and maps are on a table. And the physician has just finished, you know, checking you up head to toe and declared you fit and well and fully recovered.
Turn your head, my liege, and cough.
How come you keep your hands so cold?
They're doused in cold mineral water to ensure a full, you know, all that necessary
contact.
the usual stuff. He's probably, you know, listened to your chest with a strange funnel and all that fun stuff. And he's picking up his stuff and nodding and leaving you to your meditations and, yeah, you know, future endeavors. With a bow and a scrape and so forth. And he leaves, robing up after that. You notice that he's left some of his instruments on your table. Yeah, there's nothing, you know, noteworthy in particular about them, but, you know, it is maybe some kind of iron spatula or something. I don't know, you know, a tongue spoon or something. Spatula sounds horrible.
A tongue spoon.
Anyway, so I don't know. Maybe you pick it up and or maybe you just make a mental note that, you know, you'll have someone deliver it to him when inevitably he comes to his senses and realizes he's missing it.
Yeah.
And you turn around and in the entranceway, right, to your little court or chamber, makeshift chamber, is Bruna. And she's swathed in this robe, and her hair is uncharacteristically done up. There's a certain sheen of irresistible gold coming off it from the guttering of the lamps. And she has this particularly pleasant look to her.
And the music, the violins start up.
Yeah.
That's right, they're dwarves. The bagpipes start up.
The war horn blares. No. And she says, a word, my prince, if it pleases you.
Yes.
I'm terribly sorry. Have I caught you at a poor time?
No, you're buttoning up your shirt.
Go ahead.
I have a proposition for you. What?
Sorry.
Mr. Peanut Gallery. Contain yourself. It's something I've been considering for a while now. Ah, what the hell? She takes off the cloak and reveals a delightful, gorgeous, scented nakedness. There's something, I mean, first of all, she's delightfully shaped, but second of all, it's like she's dunked herself in honeyed nog, even though you know that's impossible. She comes near and there's this sort of gleam on her naked skin. Yes, go.
Grabbing whatever...
A blanket
or whatever, and quickly throwing it over. Oh, last, oh no!
All right. First of all, you're subject to she's magnificent. So we'll see if you can do that or not.
Back to mechanics that I've forgotten.
You're in luck. I'm going to explain them to you. You're going to pick up your steel dice, which for you is
8.
Disgustingly high, I think. 8. Okay. So you pick up your 8 steel dice, or
holy
yeah,
cat.
Your obstacle here is your greed exponent, which is 6. To not be completely and utterly
bamboozled,
fascinated.
Yeah, make me burn some persona here.
Are you sure you want to do that? There are more delightful horrors waiting for you.
Yes, but I'm thinking about
your betrothed, my liege,
Freya. Boss fight there.
Oh, what she doesn't know.
Yeah.
We'll kill you. Yeah.
They always know.
They always know, yeah.
Especially when they're hanging around your neck when you come back home.
All right, so you can spend 3 persona on a single roll. And since this does not technically pertain to one of your greed idioms, I mean, resisting greed, that's what you can do, right? Persona-wise. You could also, of course, spend your deeds point. That would just be silly.
Yeah.
You can certainly bolster it up to 11 dice if you want to spend up to 3 persona. That's completely up to you.
I will throw 2 in there.
All right.
One, at least she was nice enough to wait until you were healed.
4, 5, and we'll spend the fate.
This is a steel test, and I believe that is all open-ended by default, so you can just re-roll those.
Oh, I made it. I just made it.
Yes. Okay, you meet the obstacle. Okay, so you do, in fact, you know, realize that what's about to happen, and, you know, you reach for some kind of blanket and you throw it over her, I guess.
Yeah. This is not a good idea.
And she gives you the puppy dog face, like you just kicked a puppy in its face.
This is excellent. First of all, this was routine steel test.
An obstacle 6 is a difficult, though, right?
It is a difficult, but... Oh, right. You are correct. You don't count the damn Arta. I keep forgetting that. That is a great catch. Okay, so then that is a difficult steel test, so record that.
Hey, my prince.
So it does maybe put a dent in you, but it's not something that will linger.
Poor Flint.
Poor Flint.
Yes, poor Flint.
Freya'd have both our heads if she were here.
She'd have all. She'll have both of your heads.
My Prince Freya isn't here, and
I am.
if my body does not please you, I have other things to offer. I would offer them anyway. I would speak on your behalf to Kolb. I know. This expedition is a costly venture, and whether it's a success or not, restarting and restoring the kingdom, princedom, I mean, that's my slip, not hers, of Scoria Deep is not a cheap venture. And I don't know if you have heard, but Freya's father, Orm, is not as wealthy as he might seem. In fact, he does quite vigorous dealings with the men of Canluran to make up for the dowry to be given when you and Freya are married. And Kolb, my grandfather, while he does not favor me particularly, is quite wealthy. He does not show it, but he has many hidden caches throughout Marl, throughout the Underway. The vault you came across way back when I was put upon by Bardi and his men is one such cache. It is full to the brim with gold and deeds and treasures from the olden days before the fall of Scoria. And I know that if we were to make an alliance, a marriage, those would surely be within your grasp.
Wow. What?
Am I going to have to make another steel test here?
Because I'm a bastard.
Yes, you are.
The years, power.
I'm thinking of the greed, too.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry, but, you know.
But I'm loyal to my Berglin.
We'll see about that. So, is this 8 versus 6, or would you like to spend more? I mean, actually, you know what? I think having you test again, while it is... Okay, no, actually, you should test again. It's a slightly different circumstance. This is not a purely carnal temptation anymore. This is... Greed. This is something more, right? This is more substantial. This is more a thing. So, yes, if it had been more of the same, then I would have said, let's go with the let it ride. And you would have just, you know, dismissed her directly. But since it is a new circumstance, we need the new She's Magnificent steel test.
All right. So I see. I'll burn a couple more persona.
I'll get you yet.
What's terrible is, you know, he passes all the serious tests, and then the silly one he'll fail.
I got 3 sixes. So.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. That looks excellent. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 3 sixes.
Ooh, just made it.
Ooh.
That's a knuckle biter.
So that's another difficult.
There would be too many people upset over the disruption of my betrothal to Freya. There's too many powerful figures involved. That the net gain would not be good.
She looks like you just stepped on her pet puppy and twisted your boot and then spat on it and then set it on fire. I mean, she looks absolutely crushed. Well, she actually falls to her knees and begins to sob.
Maybe I can use persuasion to persuade her that I'm picking the correct course of action here for her.
Yes, well, yes, yes.
Just don't
touch
her.
Before that, though, she begins to sort of mouth and moan things between tears, to give you a bit of context, because Fandral doesn't know this. She begins to ramble in way, you know, about things you've no context for, like, you know, I don't want to marry that horrible shepherd fucker from Reckless. I'll never be free. I'll be, you know, and it's just this constant stream of rambling. Obviously, she has some other agenda. She's trying to avoid by offering you all these things.
Ah, she doesn't love you. You're just a good catch.
The best catch.
Yeah. Maybe you should stick her on the second best catch. Your right hand man.
So how do you want to deal with this? If you want to still want to go with persuasion, how do you want to deal?
Well, you know, you are a very lovely girl. Kolb has all these resources. I'm sure we can find you a much better match than this Regolith farmer. Once we get back to Marl, Freya can help find a better match. She is very good at that.
You know, I think that's so smooth. It would be silly to have a test. I'm just going to say yes to that.
That's why he's the prince.
Ah, sheesh.
Dry your eyes. This will be no problem.
And put those diaphanous robes back on again.
No, it was just...
I'm picking those up and bringing them over to her.
It was a cloak, though, so, you know, it wasn't anything...
She had
to get to his little tent area.
Dwarven equivalent, though.
You know, she perks up a little and dries her tears. Really?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure? Would you do this?
Certainly. Think nothing of it.
For the for the child of a coward?
You've proven your bravery here with our band, and when you come back victorious from Scoria, that will lift your status even farther.
I think we cut it there.
You'll be fighting men off with your crossbow.
Brilliant. Well, okay, I guess we know why Fandral is the prince.
And as soon as he's gone off happy, then I look up. Sigmar, where are you? Yelling for my page who's supposed to screen people
from
wandering into my tent.
What did you call him? We have to write this down.
Sigibert.
Sigibert.
Yes, my liege. How can I help you?
No. It's a deformed dwarf.
It does appear to be a tradition in fantasy.
Some young, very short-bearded...
You're young, Arden. Your page, right?
Oh, a young dwarf. Yes, my liege. How can I help you?
He just hit his 50s. That's why his voice is all wrong. A ways away, in a different part of the camp, Flint and Ulfkell are, gathered around the smoking, fizzing, steaming monstrosity that is the encamped, entrenched brewing apparatus with all the crazy dwarves running around and so on and so forth. I guess Flint is maybe there mainly to get his beer because he has a foot in. Not all, everyone is getting, theirs topped off like you can.
Hey! Hey, Flint, come over here. Try this. You see if it's, see how this tastes. Glug, glug, glug. I want an unvarnished opinion.
Well, I do not know if Flint is a connoisseur of the brew.
Yeah, it's dwarf, aren't you?
You know, it's been almost a day since you had your last.
You're starting to get sober.
You're on hydra. Yes.
Well, I think if you want the unvarnished truth, it's beer. It is not your best.
You see me looking at you very carefully. Have another draught.
Yeah, Flint's thinking, if I keep critiquing this, I could get that whole barrel in me.
I think Ulfkell can tell.
Aye. No, I'm just looking to see if he can tell. I've been using goblin dung as the main fuel source.
Oh, it's tainted it in any way.
Yeah.
It's maybe a foreign, tiny foreign element that mostly the brewers themselves would go, what is this?
Well, in that case, Flint, it's got a... it's got a little bit of a bite.
More hops. We'll dry hop it and they'll leaven it out a bit.
Okay. So. While you're standing there and doing your thing and trying the beer, Rory ambles over with his crutch and he's looking a bit disheartened. And he approaches Ulfkell and says, "Master, a word if you please."
Aye.
Well, this whole expedition thing and the brewing responsibilities and all this, I've been lying awake these past two nights thinking very deeply about things, and I've realized that I rather like my legs where they are, and it's also very dangerous to go through with this whole...
Lad,
don't take that the wrong way. I have a complete and utter faith in Fandral. And you, of course. But I think it's time for me maybe to turn around.
Lad, no. Put my arm around him. No, lad, no. This is just minor setbacks. Just minor setbacks. You have your whole life before you. And, if you are the second brewer of Scoria Deep, you will have it made in the shade, as they say, up on top. No, lad. Come. Have a beer. brewers are the only ones who are not going on short rations. You know that. maybe coarse persuasion, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so. I'll give you a bonus for the beer.
Okay.
So Clint wants to help in any way. Mm-hmm. You are too.
Can I throw in a little beer-wise in that?
No.
Nope.
I'll lend him some intimidation. Do that sad tisk tisk. I thought you were a better dwarf than that.
All right, cool.
You're going to let something like this accident? What would be the word? Chill your spine.
Yeah, and I think I'll probably burn a point of persona point just to keep Rory. So that's going to give me, what, total 4 dice?
Lynn's intimidation is B3, so that's 1 die, and you get an extra die for the beer.
So yeah, 4 dice.
Okay, cool. And the obstacle here
It'd be 5 dice. It'd be five dice. I'm burning persona point. And the obstacle?
The obstacle is 4. It is his will.
Ooh. What was the obstacle again?
It was 4, so you have 4 successes. That is pretty cool. So, and that was, first of all, it's an obstacle for difficult test for Flint, because he's helping. But Flint already has all the difficult tests he needs for intimidation, so it would have been perhaps great if he had found a different skill to help with. But that's fine.
I do not play that way.
No, you lad. When I was a young'un and fighting in the ranks, I didn't think I wanted to be a combat brewer. But you know, I seen my friends get cut down, but I realized I had to stand fast because this is a calling. You wouldn't have gotten this far if it hadn't been a calling. No, he wouldn't have gotten as far. I mean, he's almost, I consider, almost ready to become a journeyman. You know, right.
Lovely flashbacks to Fritz Leiber's Thieves Guild, where you're a cut purse fifth level and all that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You got your whole life as a brewer before you. Don't let one little setback cut it short.
He is visibly bolstered by this speech and the
beer.
Unfriendly intimation that he's
a girly dwarf.
Yes. And, he takes a clunk of the beer and slosh it around in his mouth and probably
says,
ruminating on the prospect there's definitely a hint of, you know, gratitude and resurgence of spirit in him. You can see that and sense that.
And if I can add one more thing, and then he sort of stops and goes, "You using the goblin dung to fire this, didn't you?"
Which he hadn't considered since he was deep in thought.
Yeah. Of course, he's saying that in front of Flint now, because
he goes, "I disagree."
We're going to call this one Goblin's Head.
And right then, you hear this not shrill, but you hear this light, vaguely melodious voice call out for Rory as one of your lesser-known apprentices come rushing up with a little boiling cup. Not a boiling cup, he got frothing cup. A frothing cup. Rory, I think I did it. I think I finally did it. We've eliminated the smell. It's maybe a woman dwarf's voice, but you can't really tell because the apprentice has this great big cap, this iron-braced cap that's almost down over the eyes, and you can only really see the lower part of their face, which is freckled and soot-stained from having fired the...
And the big thick leather apron.
That too. Rory goes, Oh, that's wonderful. We have to present it. Don't stand there, Gal. Just present it.
I cross my arms and I look at him and say, "You first, lad. It's your project. You got to make sure it's good before I try it."
Well, I've just been, I've just had this and if we...
I look around. Wait. I go over and grab some bucket of water. Rinse your mouth out.
Okay.
This water?
Well, we want to taste the beer, so you can't really rinse that with beer, can you? Besides, it's been boiled. It's been boiled at least once.
He grabs a bit of straw as well and sort of rubs the inside of his mouth. And, you know, then he takes the cup and he smells it suspiciously and gets something in his the face. And then he takes a sip and you can see almost immediately this sort of roseate shade come over him as his cheeks blossom and his eyes sort of begin to glow strangely. And by glow, I don't mean like he turns into a superhero. I mean, you know, they twinkle.
Oh, I think I know the look.
You can clearly see that he is somewhere far away in his best memory, right?
I hold my hand out, you know, and hopefully he puts a cup in it, into it.
He does not. In fact, he looks upon infinity and takes another sip and smiles in this sort of daft,
I take a step forward and carefully remove the cup from his grasp.
Oh, and then he wakes up and goes, "Oh, sorry, yeah,
it's good, isn't it?
It's good. It is good." And he, you know, when he says that, he sort of he's grabbing you by the lapels.
Oh, don't spill any.
Oh, sorry.
Next thing you hear is.
Okay. Well, when you bring it up toward your face, there's a subtle onslaught of fragrance and it's a sort of unexpected quality. And then when you sort of begin to slosh it around and rinse and sort of this fullness of body that you hadn't expected at all, which is rather closer to Nog, you know, just begins, and you know.
But it's not Nog.
It's not Nog. But Flint, you can see that a similar transfigurement is happening with Ulfkel, as with the other, you know, as with Rory. So in if this had been like the movie, you would have the angelic singing, and suddenly, you know, there would have been like a shaft of clear sunlight inexplicably from nowhere lighting up the entirety of Ulfkel. Of course, there's this Highland breeze sort of just sweeps through his beard inexplicably.
Single tear drops from his eye.
Yes, and this tear is not for naught because this is a recipe you don't know.
I look at Rory.
And you know what? But she's magnificent.
Oh, her?
The brew.
Oh, the brew. Okay, yes.
I wouldn't put two women in your path.
Yeah.
You know.
I offhandedly just hold the cup out to Flint.
Oh, Flint looks at that thing like it's a piece of evil. he looks over and says, I need to see the mushrooms that you have.
I hold it out. You know, there's a little quiver in my hold. Try it. It's wonderful.
Oh, great.
No, seriously, Flint, because like, these guys have been poisoned.
Look back at Rory. Is this yours?
By Nog, no, it isn't. It's theirs. And he points to the little, like, apprentice who removes her, like, iron-bound headpiece and reveals this full, flowing shock of red hair and freckly face that is sort of the lower portion of it is completely soot covered, so she has that goggle look.
Lass.
Yes?
This is the first time and only time I will ever do this. I fall to my knees. How'd you make this?
Oh, yeah. So, Flint's warning sensors are like, whoop, 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 whoop. This ain't right. So, you broke my brewmaster.
Broken already.
I'm sorry. John, repeat your question.
No. How'd you make this? What's the recipe? And he's not in his big, boisterous voice. This is in his, it's like, you know, it's like he's, you know, standing before the god of Nog.
Okay, well, and she looks a bit like a deer in headlights, or, I don't know, right. a goblin in the lamplights. And she goes, I only added a few things from the old grandpappy's recipes, you know, to counteract the dong element.
Okay, now, who's her grandpappy?
No one in particular.
This is where clan history comes online.
So her name is Bear?
Her name is Bear, B-A-I-R.
Bear.
But that's the personal name.
What's her surname? I would know that. She's one of my apprentices.
I'm kind of new. I signed up when you went onto this whole Scoria thing. I'm originally from Regolith. Not sure who.
Regolith. I'm going to burn my beer wise if you remember, because this is, you know, beer wise.
Your mental phone book.
Yeah, beer wise. Okay, Regolith. Who's the brewer out there at Regolith? There's got to be a brewer out there in Regolith. So I'm guessing I'll roll. I'm going to make a roll versus my beer wise. See if I can just remember.
Flint could possibly help with clan history.
Sure.
Oh, that gives
you get yourself in there.
Well, it gives me a 5 dice again.
The obstacle here is 3. Now you can decide whether.
Nah, I'm not going to burn a persona for this. This way, this would just be a mystery to figure out. Oh! yeah, I made it.
Oh, nice.
We are all going to be so dead if we have to fight for our lives. We're just using up the luck.
You know what? Since I hadn't prepared for this test, I'm going to leave it to Flint and Ulfkell to invent a mysterious brewmaster.
He's regular.
Or a brewmaster lineage that has been sort of ousted from some other place and fallen into obscurity.
Can I make a slight change to who she got the recipe from? Not from her grandfather, from her grandmother.
Sure.
Brewers, you know, in real history were female. The first brewers were all women. This is So of course we totally appropriate with the dwarven misogyny going on that they've been discounting the women brewers out there in the countryside. You know, the dwarves that live on the surface. You know, we sort of discount them. This is like, wait a second. You're daughter of it was appropriate. She's daughter of someone, right? So daughter of, because we actually there are no surnames. Just, you know, son of, you know, I'd be Mugger's son.
But some of you have like Gotterdam, right? You have houses or stuff like that. So you can either say she's from a lineage that doesn't actually have a big huge name, or you can say that it's actually a big huge name that's fallen into obscurity, perhaps because it is a matrilineal. And they don't record that in the same way.
Though I think she'd be daughter of her father. Is that
the way it usually works?
So she's daughter of.
I suppose she is a daughter of a mother as well. But if you're looking for like sanction from Norse sources, then anything goes.
Oh, so she could have a maternal. She could have a maternal. What would be a good dwarf woman's name?
Do we want something domestic?
No, they're farmers out there.
For some reason, I like smokehouse.
What's the sweet? What's Swedish for smokehouse?
Well, that's what Google translates for.
Yeah.
I got Rokiri or something
Rokiri.
Like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Rokiri and her grandmother.
Of course, I might be mangling that pronunciation.
What's the last intelligible thing you heard?
We didn't. It was all like, ah,
ah. We're trying to create a name for her. We're doing it in Swedish. So,
oh,
dear. Yeah. Oh, I know her grandmother's name is. This would be a joke for, we'll just leave it up to Wilhelm to tell you what her mother's name is, grandmother's name is.
I think I know part of that.
That is the strange, most bizarre conglomeration of Google Translate errors I've ever come across.
So I take it it's not proper then, is it?
I mean, it's funny, but I know.
Unfortunately, you're still cyborging terribly.
Part of a nation of pigs.
Bear, daughter of Rokeri, daughter of Sven Bestedent. I can't even, that's his dad. I can't even pronounce that, Sven Zucker. Basically, daughter of Smokehouse, daughter of Swineherd. Her grandmother not only made beer, she made bacon.
Well, see, here's the problem, though. When I re-Google trans-mangled that, it came out of swine stock. not swine herd. So it wasn't the person, it was the animal. So it's like, daughter of the smokehouse, daughter of pigs.
That was more like an insult than...
Yes, yes. So, hey, you, bacon breath, come over here.
So back to the lineage of this bear. I mean, you could just name one significant ancestor, and you already have a name for that.
Yeah, so we're thinking, and the thing is, we probably know of her because not because of her beer, but because of the fine smoked pork she had made from her mother or grandmother, either one of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does your mother brew as well?
Let's see. We're back in the scene. That's Ulfkell to bear.
Yeah.
Well, a little here and there. She's mostly into the pork and the sheep.
Oh, I know that. I know that. Her pork and lamb bacon is delicious.
That's perhaps what we're most famous for. We are regular stock.
I sit up straight, I stand up, look at her, look at Rory, look at her. Lad, smack you on the shoulder. You have a new apprentice.
Well.
With his mouth wide open.
Yes.
Interesting form of bribery, intimidation, debt that you kind of slapped on him there.
Yeah, then I walk over to Flint and look at him. Hold the glass out. Yeah, I want to try this. Trust me.
The mug. Glasses.
The mug. The cup, whatever, yeah.
Look at her.
She's cue the button.
Well, no, I'm just trying to think, is this another assassination attempt?
No one's died yet.
Yes. But
no
maybe
one's
they'll all die.
One's hands.
We'll try it, but we're skeptical because the first batch was nothing to write home about in time.
And we're all looking, and we're all watching you now. Behind your back, we call you Flint of the Stone Tongue.
I think we'll live up to that. Yeah, he'll nod his head. He's like, not too bad, not too bad.
No, really? Does he do that?
For someone who hasn't had a solid, good beer in a while, it's great. But the finer points of someone with a high exponent in beer-wise are kind of lost on him.
I don't speak the lingo.
No, it's a good beer. Under the circumstances, right? But we have a few points of order. First of all, you made a test, and you added no persona, right? Had help from Flint.
So it was a four versus a four, so is that a routine or is that difficult?
Well, you rolled five because the helping dice count.
So that's a routine then.
Yes, okay. And the obstacle was three. So for Flint, you helped with clan history. And that is a difficult test for clan history. You know what just happened John?
Boom!
Your beer-wise just went up to B5.
Wow! Binning. I keep the Arthas expenditures, but I get rid of everything else then, right?
Yes.
I leveled up. Bing, bing, bing!
Okay, and second of all, like I said before, this brew, she's magnificent. Steel test.
Ooh.
Which is higher, your greed exponent or your hesitation?
Hesitation is five, greed is four.
Okay, so the difficulty, the obstacle for this test, your steel test for she's magnificent, is five.
Ooh, and I'm rolling my greed dice, right?
Nope, you're rolling your steel dice.
Which is six. All right. All I can do on this one is spend persona if I don't want to grab her and say, screw Berghild, I'm going to marry you. No.
That's not technically true. You don't necessarily want Bear. You just want her brew.
Watch this. This is the one where it blows, and it's a five. I don't want to be known as the impulsive, compulsive person. I'm not going to spend persona and make that seven.
Isn't it too late for that?
Yes.
Buggers!
One, two.
See? The fates have caught up with you. You've been tempting them for too long.
First of all, that is a routine greed test for you for failing that. So write that down. And now you have a choice, Ulfkell. You can either stand and rule, for, let's see, 3 actions, like, you know, and we'll work that into your, you know, initial experience. Or you can invoke the I must have it rule, which is, you know, you must attempt to purchase steel, barter, or kill for the object, person, place, or idea quest.
You know, I think I'll go with a stand and drill, but I'm going to be standing and drilling with a cup in my hand, taking a sip every so often. I'll go that route.
Regardless what you choose, this brew, this recipe, is now the focus of your attention. It's always lingering in the back of your mind, nagging at you.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to write that down somewhere in the notes for a future possible belief.
I got a future use section there. So I'm going to be out of it for 3 actions.
Yes. So while Ulfgar is standing there in his own little private world of another falsetto, lovelier notes, Sergeant Scully comes tromping into the camp and you know, looks everyone over and like, I said, this is what you're doing. You're not just standing around here and not brewing anything. I see how it is. Flint, come here.
Flint?
Helps if I'm not muted.
Everyone, take a sip.
Hi, Sergeant. What's the issue?
First, you can fill my cup. I know you have access to the good stuff.
Hey, you can point him to the goblin head.
Sure.
Yeah, he's not getting the good stuff, but he can try the bitey beer. And I'll tell him, we're still working on it. It's a bit of a bite. And then I'll point over to Ufkel. As you can see, he's been hit right in the taste buds.
Well, anyway, he downs it in like a single, you know, draft, and there's stuff spilling down the sides of his mouth into his beard, and you know, he smacks his lips. I'm sorry?
Not a waste.
Indeed. Oh, I haven't had any of that for almost a day. Oh, that'll be no more for even another day. Oh, I don't know what I'll do. I'm crazy. And, oh, anyway, Flint, of course.
Yes.
There's something I wanted to talk to you about. Here, come here, look. And he digs out of his, like, side pouch. He digs out this broken stone tablet. It's about, you know, the size of a regular sheet of paper, except it's broken on the length side. And it has this sort of odd handle, as if it was made to be thrust into a slot of some kind, or an index, and you see a bunch of, you know, dwarven runes on it, and he points to a seal at the bottom. He goes, isn't that your Gotterdam house seal?
Well, without a doubt. Where did you find this?
Well, we were scouting in one of the near tunnels, there was this collapsed portion, and in the rubble there, I thought I saw something strange, like a rune. And then I went there, and the seal started to gleam. As you see, if he holds it up toward one of the lamps or lanterns, you can see how the seal, it seems to be alchemically fixed to the outer layer of the stone, and it glitters kind of like, oh, what's the word in English? Egods. Anyway, it's like a top layer of glittering mineral, right? Mm-hmm. That's been affixed to the stone that is your seal. I'm not so great with the reading and the runes and all that, but maybe you could help me out. I mean, I'm sure it's important.
I totally agree. God, totally. That's not very dwarven. Dude. Well, let's see what we've got. Well, hey, I've got rune script at B2. That's not good, but it's not terrible either.
Well, you get a die of help from Scully, so that's 3. It's an obstacle 3 to accurately figure out what it says. And if you fail, there may be interesting consequences, or you have misinterpretations or other fun stuff. If you succeed, you
can I fork in something like Holdwise or Clan History?
You know,
Bannerwise.
Let me have a look at your.
Not that I'm sure that I know what I'm looking at, but I have a few skills.
You don't actually have anything that I. Cool. Within the auspices of a test or whatever.
No problem. There's 3 dice a day. Well, you know, what good is Persona if you can't burn it? So, yes, we will burn. This is Goddard damn stuff. We'll burn 2 Persona on this. This is important to me.
Actually, I say nothing. Just take another sip.
Oh, you're on fire. That's awesome. You hate this? Because, okay, can I burn fate on those sixes? Is there a reason to not? That's a success.
You have three successes, so you absolutely don't need to.
Is there any benefit to it?
None, except to, spend fate that you may need later.
Fine. It just so happens to be written in handwriting from the family.
In the hand runes of the family. Okay, so you spent a persona, right?
Yeah.
No, two. You spent two persona points.
Yes.
So those go directly to RuneScript. I like this. It's a dwarf game where you spend persona on RuneScript.
I consider this important.
Yes. I just see a lovely future when you shade-shift RuneScript and, your hold wise and intimidation is still...
Was that considered routine or difficult?
You had a helping die, so that's a 3 versus 3. It's a difficult test.
Okay, we'll add another one of those. Go further into persona debt here. So what does this mysterious fragment reveal?
With the help of Scully, you figure out that it's a deed. It's a deed to... a place. You see the mention of Scoria, and since it's sort of cut in half, the beginning lines of all the sentences are gone, so you can only sort of figure out half of it, but it seems to be a deed for a holding in Scoria. Your seal clearly states that whoever holds this like deed is in possession of it, and you do see the word brewery toward the bottom.
Well, unless he's reading my lips, he's not going to pick up on that.
Nah, I'm oblivious to everything.
I'm kind of debating whether it's overkill to have a She's Magnificent in this. It's a little nebulous, so I'm not going to go with that, even though it's...
No, but I will drag the sergeant along, so we need to find the rest of this.
Excellent, okay. Well... I'm on my break now, but
break's over. Yes. Break's over. Just, I pat this around myself, pull out a skin. Here, have my ration. Let's go. You can drink it along the way.
So you up and leave just in the middle of Ulfkill's drooling.
Yeah, I'm probably the only one. I'm not the only one drooling, I bet, at this point, because I think Rory's probably having an affliction of the heart, too.
Well, they could sit there and have their little tryst of beeriness. And like, I've got family business to attend to.
All right. So you retrace his steps and you find the crumbled corridor and you pick him out for a bit, but you do not in fact find the other half of the stone tablet, though you do find a shard that could fit. It's possible that the rest is buried. It's possible that there were tablets lying there and or someone was passing with tablets right when it caved in. There's no telling. It's not really this part of the tunnel system is not directly on any maps, so it's anybody's guess what's behind the rubble.
Sergeant, go back, get some shovels, maybe some picks, grab a few extra hands.
Hey now, says Scully. I have a duty, and I know Prince Fandral is eager to push on to Scoria. We can't just stand here and start excavating things right and left.
This is important evidence as to the resources that we can find in Scoria. I'm sure the prince will be interested in knowing what we find here.
I'm making the shovel movement of piling it higher and deeper right now.
He's only a sergeant.
Yes, he is. Well,
and I'm Fandral's right-hand man. And if he's going to sit there and plant his feet in hem and haw, I'll pull myself up to my full mighty dwarven height.
3'5".
This is very important.
To me.
All right. Well, he's clearly not going to budge without a push. So if you're drawing yourself up and being all high and mighty, then that would be command. You could possibly fork in conspicuous. And possibly intimidation if you're suggesting, you know, there may be horrible consequences.
Which way to go? Because, I'm not really painting myself as the nice guy.
Nope. On the other hand, you are playing to your newfound aggressive trait.
Yeah. Damn it, he's a sergeant. He's used to intimidating people. It's how he communicates. It says, I can't speak well, but I can intimidate you. So, we'll throw in a blustery command. It's like, don't stand there. If you look, daft.
Did you mute yourself or something? The last thing I heard is you look daft.
Nope, that's where we ended it at.
Oh, okay. That's the full extent of it.
he might be sensitive to that. So it's like, I want to look down. Not in front of, Flint. That's Andro's right-hand man. He's used to taking orders.
I'll give you an advantage die for being aggressive, and you also have chuffing among your character traits, so I think those would work nicely in tandem for blustering yourself up. And other than that, it would be commanded with possibly conspicuous and intimidation forks. And the obstacle is 4.
Obstacle 4? Jeez, what a stubborn mule.
But if you get 4, that means you get precisely what you want. If you don't get 4, something else will happen.
You know what? We're going to throw in a persona, because this is important to me. It's just like, I gave you a persona in the beginning, because I know you're going to burn it all later.
It's kind of my job.
Okay, fair enough. So, we got our forks. We've got our persona. We're playing true to form. What does that work out to? See, I've got a command to B2, but man, I think maybe intimidation with the B3 would be the way to go.
You can also fork in conspicuous if you want to. What do you need? Consider what you need to advance command. You need routine tests. You need one routine test. So, fork away.
Sure. Let's see. So we'll put on the full show. Do we need a little greed gleam in our eye?
Okay, well, nice. Nice. Even though that doesn't count toward advancement, it is certainly appropriate. You are talking about something that belongs, a piece of wealth that, according to the deed anyway, belongs to your clan. And you do have your oath to restore the...
Absolutely. Tool.
So that would be, you would spend then that persona point in order to dig into your greed reserves of what, 2, 3?
I got a B2.
Okay. Well, you get 2 for 1, so that's a decent... Okay.
So my math is failing me here, so...
That means you get, first of all, you get a difficult greed test, record a difficult greed test, which actually advances greed to B3 after you've done the test.
Great. You're corrupting me.
You're corrupting yourself. Come on.
Okay, maybe. Just a little bit. You said it was 2 for 1, so I get one die for B2?
First of all, let's take it from the top. You are using command, so that's 2 dice.
Yes.
You are forking in intimidation and conspicuous, so that's 4 dice.
Yes.
And you get 2 dice for your 1 point of persona when you dig into the fires of greed to get what you want here. So that's 6 dice. But it is only going... But those 2 greed dice are not going to count toward advancement. So it's going to be a difficult test for command again. Alas, I don't see any really compelling options for further forks, right? And you don't anyway, you don't have enough to change the test.
Okay, well, 6 dice is 6 dice. We'll gladly take that. Survey says I have 3 and a 6. We will gladly burn a point of fate, because, we're overflowing with fate. And it's nothing like a 50-50 shot to succeed. Come on, we can do this. 2, of course.
Okay, interesting. You know, I think this is what happens. He snaps kind of to attention, and there's this moment, this tense moment of enmity between the two of you, clearly. And then he says, all right, then, as you will. I'll go get the digging crew. And then he stomps off.
Thank you.
I don't know, you go with him and Schwartz.
Oh, hell no. I'm going to paw through that rubble.
Okay. So you stay there and be a mole.
Yes.
A little later, Fandral, you are, back from your ordeal. I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you're pacing the camp and checking on things and,
taking a cold shower.
realizing that your two main brewers are standing there in the middle of the brewery, not moving, passing a cup between themselves.
And as you pass through the encampment, you see that some of the scouts, some of Roar's scouts, are sort of gearing up for some inexplicable, unplanned, unstrategic outing. Like they're grabbing hatchets and. Not hatchets, he got picks and
shovels.
You know, shovels. They have like
wheelbarrows,
mining cart thing with them. They have barrels, and they're clearly gearing up for something that you haven't approved.
What's all this then?
Says Sergeant Scully, who's apparently in charge of them. Well, there's a tunnel, right? And we're off to excavate it. Your right hand's orders.
What?
Flint ordered us to go and dig up this tunnel, and we didn't want to anger you or anything, so,
well, we had a cave-in or something? And
well, yes, but, and well, not that it's, go ahead.
Which tunnel is this was caved in? I mean, we can go way around it.
Well, yes, we wouldn't have gone through it at all if it weren't for the fact that Flint wants it excavated. I don't know why, but he doesn't say that. Ye gods.
Well, we don't have time for that. We can find another way here.
Show the way? Okay. Well, this way, everyone, he says, assuming that you're not against the idea.
He wants to know, is the way we were going black?
I'm sorry, I thought you said show me the way.
No, I think that's a perfectly appropriate misinterpretation of what he was saying.
Well, in that case, he does misinterpret.
Well, if we start going down a way that's different than the way we were going, why are we going down here?
They are going in an easterly direction instead of a northerly direction you have been going in. It's clearly a detour.
Why are we going down here?
Well, that's where the tunnel is.
Well, who cares? We're going this way.
What? I thought you two were... And he looks, he has that look where he's crossing his index fingers in two different directions, and he looks completely confused and so we're not excavating the tunnel.
Why would we? We're heading this way.
Well, that's what I said in the first place, he says. And then he rips off his helmet and throws it onto the tunnel floor and starts jumping around. We've lost an hour planning this whole thing. I suggest you go talk to your second man, your second dwarf. He's probably still there digging through everything like a mole.
Why does Flint have this interest in unearthing every place that an ancient dwarf paused to squat? We'll never get to Scoria.
Of course, when you get there, there's this like a tunnel to the debris.
Well, he didn't actually have to do a She's Magnificent, so it's not necessarily that mad.
It could be.
Do I get Persona back for that? I burned myself a hole.
I was wondering where to put this interesting little scene, and now we have an answer. Excellent. Okay, so you go tromping down the tunnel. Sure enough. Soon you hear the sort of scratchy digging, rock shifting noise echoing down the tunnel. And I guess Flint still had his lantern or something with him, so there's that.
Of course.
Pale light. And yeah, I guess I'll leave it to Flint. What are you up to when Fandral finds you like an hour later?
Well, first of all, I'll have my back to him, but of course, hear him coming. I say, fine, fine, start over on that side over there.
What the hell are you about, Flint?
That's the sound of his helmet hitting the roof.
Ah, Prince, where's everyone else?
They're doing their jobs, getting us moving.
I've found some absolutely amazing documents that talk about property and resources that we can find in Scoria, and I'm trying to excavate the bits that are part of this cave-in. Right, I think now, yes.
We don't have time for this. We need to get to Scoria. Right now, the documents or whatever aren't worth the stone they're carved on. We need to get to Scoria to clear out whatever foul goblins and beasties or
dragons.
This is where I so shoot myself in the foot. I pull out the fragment and I show it to the prince. It says, read this. This is amazing stuff. Because I don't know that he's been pulling shit on me before.
No.
Says, look at that seal. Look at the craftsmanship in it. This is an important document.
So I will read it. What was actually on there?
It is a deed, evidently, and it does state that whoever has the seal, you know, stamped at the bottom is the rightful and legal owner in perpetuity, or whatever you say, runic legalese, although half of it is gone, clearly, is the owner of certain holdings, including possibly a brewery, but it doesn't say which brewery, because that part is gone, in Scoria.
Well, this is all well and good, but right now, nobody owns anything in Scoria, so let's get there.
Possession is 9/10 of the law anyway.
Oh, sir, while going in there, crossbows blazing is a perfectly acceptable way to handle the situation. At some point, people are going to want to stake their claims on our hard work. And if we can find documents like this, it will further cement our claim.
Since it's very vaguely late, I think it wouldn't be necessarily very prudent to like drag out a duel of wits here.
Oh,
but
sure.
I think you two have clearly different ideas. And what we'd want to know is where going. Do you manage to lure Flint away? Does Flint manage to suggest that it's worth pursuing? Something like that. So I think you should, like we did early in the sessions, pick a skill that is appropriate, like, you know, Fandral might use persuasion to suggest that, you know, it's for the present, it's a useless thing, yes. Right? And, you know, maybe whatever your argument is. And Flint would use, I don't know, whatever at his disposal for a versus test, right?
Versus the persuader cannon. Well, probably my best bet would actually be clan history, saying we've got to show the proper holdings in lineage, and just aside from all of that, this is a valuable historical document, and I'm planning on losing this, but I'm at least trying.
You could conceivably fork in hold-wise, you know, suggesting that this is how it works in the hold, and if there's a new hold, and if we're going back to the hold, we, you know, your whole stake-claiming argument could be supported by hold-wise, right?
Absolutely. That gets me up to 5, but I'm not going to burn any persona on this.
And for Fandral?
Well, we need persuasion. We can fork in command.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. You are just hitting below the belt.
It's why he's prince.
Yeah. I'm going to throw down some dice.
No. Don't roll anything yet. Okay.
I want to keep this roll just because it's so incredibly bad.
The reason you're not going to keep it is we want to give Fandral the chance to decide what he wants to fork in, how much he wants to fork in, etc. And that we need an element of the uncertain for him to make an interesting choice, right? Certainly persuasion and said command, and I could totally see you using history as well if you want to cite an example of a takeover where some legal document didn't matter or something.
People have abandoned their claims in Scoria, so it'll be up to the ruling body of Scoria, which would be me, to pronounce those things.
I was about to say ruling junta, but
So, just to be clear, let's set happy little stakes and say if Fandral wins, what happens? And if Flint wins, what do you do?
Well, who gets to choose which?
Well,
Are we asking for demands or are we asking for concessions?
Well, okay, I'm being unclear because it's been a while since we played, but I want your intent. What is your intent with this action, with these argumentations?
I want Fandral's support for the excavation.
Cool. Nice and concise. And Fandral wants...
Heck out of here.
Just stop worrying about... Don't worry about ancient legal documents and spending time digging those up. We're going to Scoria. Let's go to Scoria. Move.
And I'm the prince.
Damn it.
All right, now you can grab your dice, however many you have accrued, and test away.
A little bit better. I managed to squeak out 2 successes. Of course, no sixes.
Well, you had no sixes anyway from the earlier roll, so that's fine.
Yes.
4 successes.
And a 6.
And he can rub it in if he wants to. Again, quest blocked.
Then I guess Fandral delivers his quote-unquote ultimatum. But, of course, it's the persuasion test, so it's more like, you know that this won't matter. You know that,
And what are you going to do with this document? You're going to go try to beat a troll over the head with it to say, this is my brewery? Come on. This doesn't mean anything.
Flint just kind of hangs his head. You're right, sir. You always are. It's just another taste of my family.
So. We'll find that crest in Scoria.
Ooh.
Yeah. Dust myself off.
Pull yourself up.
Mind you, royalty before age.
Mind you, Flint, you don't necessarily have to abandon this.
I'm going to keep
idea,
that
right? Right. Yeah. But for now, absolutely, it's Prince's thing that goes, right?
Yes, like damn him and common sense.
Meanwhile, after a bit, I go, we should make more of this.
All right, so when the two of you have had your little confrontation and you're gearing up to leave, there is I guess it is somehow somewhat late. I guess I'll do an introduction and then we'll do Arthur Ward's and I'll take the big huge scene that I meant to have as a finale next time. But
which is the nature of the beast for us.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. I've enjoyed this session so far, so get on with it. So when you're turning to leave, right, you both of you, you hear this kind of distant, odd, sort of whistling, almost singy kind of ghostly reverberation. Not reverberation, but it's a kind of, it's a music that isn't really music.
Sifferation.
Yes, it's kind of odd, and there's this ghostly radiance that begins to softly bathe the tunnel, and out from the rubble, this shape strides, this tall, statuesque, glittering elfin shape, whose skull is completely cleft from the crown down to his brow. One side of his face is completely like covered in blood and crure, and he points directly to Fandral and says, "You, heir of the betrayer, you will answer for your crimes."
Da, da, da.
We're going to keep it there with a mental note that next time we're going to start with steel tests.
Fun.
I wasn't sure quite where to stick this little scene, and I'd hope maybe to have Ulfgil with it, with you at the time as well. But, you found not Jesus, but dog or whatever. So that's something.
Yes. Megil?
Mehu?
Oh, he was the elf that betrayed Gondolin to Morgoth.
Oh. Oh, and here's a lovely little bit here. We didn't read out the beliefs at the beginning. I'm nope. Sure you have. We did for
Ulfkel.
But other than that, I didn't really work too hard on the beliefs, which is a symptom of, starting up a game again after several months of not having played Burning Wheel. But I do feel like you were still challenged. Certainly, if Fandral was challenged to lead the expedition in a timely and correct manner, right? And I'd say you succeeded in that element. I should have maybe stopped and said, "Do you want to revise this belief and give it a goal bit at this point? Like, I will convince Flint to let this go and let's keep going or something."
Yeah.
And the same for Flint. It would have been good to have something like that. But that's for next time. I'll keep it in mind. Test Rory to see if he's become a journeyman brewer. Well, you didn't test him, but you at least prevented him from leaving.
Leaving, yeah.
And saddled him with an apprentice.
Yep.
An apprentice who's quite,
duty.
Who's quite possibly better than him. So you're perpetuating the whole misogynistic ethos or whatever.
Best case scenario, he marries her and basically, you know,
becomes competition.
Assumes and steals all the glory. Yes, of course.
Yes, of course.
Let's see. So you certainly played to your beliefs. If we start with Fandral, you certainly played to leading. I didn't see any particular play to restoring family prestige or helping people recover anything in particular. But you have definitely earned yourself a fate point. And for Flint, your present beliefs include scouting a path. Well, I'd say as long as Fandral blazes a path for Dwarven glory as your axe, it was certainly tested this time. But not, you know, you didn't really, you know, leap into a side immediately or anything like that. It was the other kind of test to see if that's still what you believe.
I still do. You know, he's the man to set us on the right path.
Alas, I don't see you earning any fate, Arta, this time.
I can totally go with that. It's one of those deals where I was tragically but intriguingly sidetracked.
Yes. Which, I mean, if I had been more clear and said, you know, maybe you want to add this to your belief, you would have had something. But like I said, it's a lesson for next time.
I'm good for the way it is.
Let's see. I'll give poor, destitute Ulfkel a fate point for at least keeping Rory in a position where he can become journeyman brewer, right?
All right.
I think that's appropriate.
Avoided a tragedy.
Yeah, and I still have to find a way to provide more ale, but hey, you know, that's something for the future.
Indeed, indeed. Checking your instincts to see if anything happened. Never say no to a lady. Ah, I forgot that.
Never say no to a lady?
That's not you. That's Flint.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Just looking over.
I would have a real problem if I was in the prince's shoes.
You had no reason to say no, though.
No.
Which is why you weren't tested.
Just be, wait a second, let me get my boots off.
What a gentleman.
Well, you know, I would say that you earned yourself, Flint, a fate point for never leaving a task undone. You launched into your, you know, find the
deed.
Yes, the deed, the other deed half, quite aggressively. That was nice. For Fandral's, let's see, talks in combat, never trust other races, expect orders to be followed. Didn't get you in trouble, though it did get you into action.
Yeah.
So I'll say you get a fate point for that. I think that's appropriate.
All right.
Maybe my memory is shot, but did Daddy One lay down the humor bomb this time? Like, stop the session dead with laughter? With an in-character expression?
I think we all had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely sitting here with a smile on my face.
Well, okay. Well, then why not? You can all have another humor fate.
Yay.
Add to your piles.
Yeah. We don't roll sixes that often enough to spend them. Yeah, I know.
I don't know if there was a really right skill, right time opportunity. There wasn't any obstacle that wasn't kind of expected. You tend to do your tunnel wises and your beer wises and all that, and your clan histories. Now, I do think you are all entitled to one persona point for embodiment.
Thank you.
It's surprisingly easy to slip back into dwarves for some reason. I don't know. Maybe because we've been added for 20-some sessions.
Well, these are well-fleshed-out, very likable characters, so that makes it very easy.
True. Yeah. Let's see. I don't think any of your beliefs, instincts, and traits conflicted with each other this time. Maybe Flint. Actually, I mean,
Task Undone.
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is beliefs in that. Well, task undone, yes. And then you have your belief to restore the family honor or greatness, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the same as Fandral's.
I do have an oath for restore the glory of the god of the house.
That's the one. And that, I would say, came maybe into conflict with as long as Fandral blazes the path for dwarven glory as your axe. But I don't know. I'm going to skip that one for now. No mood breakers. Mm-hmm. Personal goals, none for this time. And I think it wasn't necessarily a workhorse or MVP session, though you did have some interplay in the beer scene. So it's really up to you if you want to award a persona point for having the right piece of gear or having a skill to help each other out or slaving away behind the scenes.
I think we kind of all work in our own spheres.
I helped Flint, though he doesn't know it, by not taking his girl.
And Flint helped me twice.
He just wants to take my birthright, that's all.
And Flint helped me twice. Both times I had to make a roll over there was Flint helping me.
But that's not workhorse. That might
that's not workhorse,
be
yeah.
Player, then.
I'm just being a nice guy.
Drives the story to its conclusion, shines in the last moments about whomever can agree. Well, if I were a voting element, I would say it could go to either Fandral or Flint for driving the story anyway to a head about the deeds and discovering the, the ghost. And I quite enjoyed the evil little scene at the beginning when Fandral was the prince in every way. But I'm not voting, and I'm not sure that it necessarily touches upon anything we did. Like, damn, we couldn't have done it without it.
The prince holding to his restraint actually avoided a huge amount of grief in the future. I can see the prince getting a point for that, because he has averted disaster of a sort.
I can see that as a most valuable player. Sure.
Yep. Yeah.
So a persona point for MVP persona points for Fandral. Cool.
Take it after all the ones I spent too.
I got one back of mine, so yeah.
Of course, now that you've reneged Bruna, you've denied her, you are no longer eligible for deeds. But you may still be if you work toward finding her a better position. That fights.
Well,
okay. guys, she's already on the staff.
Sorry, just couldn't resist.
Anyway, it might be a future something if you suffer a little to help her. That's definitely a thing.
You know, a blind date. Wait a second, they've had several blind dates, so I don't know.
There's a difference between blind and clueless.
Unprepared for date.
Well, considering she started out, going after you, then she started going after the prince.
I don't know if she ever went after Flint.
Well, I got the impression that early on she was kind of sweet on him, on Flint.
Yeah, early on, she seemed to be interested in the prince then.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I was the stepping stone.
Right. Doormat.
But I like to think I'm sufficiently clueless I haven't picked up on that.
You just can't see the footprints when she wiped her feet in your back.
hard to see.
I hope it wasn't too chaotic this time. I was a little nervous and giddy because there was so much fun to be had, and yet we haven't played for a bit, so I was afraid I'd make mistakes like forgetting to suggest you rewrite your beliefs.
To be honest, I don't sweat the mechanics, if you haven't noticed. Having a blast and enjoying the story. And if I turn into a badass later on through leveling up, next thing you know, I might be doing my own brewing. Or maybe not.
Or if I find out you have the deed, one of these days in the middle of the night, so lad, you have a deed to a brewery.
Which one? It doesn't say.
Goddamn. I don't remember there being a Goddard. Was there a Goddardam brewery? Was it the Ironwood, or was it the other one?
These are by name.
These certainly realms for, you know, a test for clan history or whole.
But that's for next time.
Yes. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I had fun putting the screws on you. Fires, anyway.
Yeah.
The ice tongs.
All right.
Take care.
Great week.
Yep. I'll catch you all online. Yep. Bye-bye.
I'm not being the crazy person having a mobile mash tun. That would just be insane, having an open fire that hot on a wagon. We have to stop to do that. And we were talking boiling several hundred gallons of water. The fire was set, the heat of the fire was set. It had to be an iron wagon just to keep it from burning down from the heat.
Don't be daft. Dwarven engineering. You've got vents and flumes and pipes coming out from all over, pulling, drawing the heat away from.
Remember,
the
Remember, that would be a war brewing wagon, and we didn't get one. That would be. It would be.
Sure you improvised a little, and that you have some notion of stuff.
Yeah, we can probably.
It's not the first time a mobile brewery
was improvised. But, yeah,
indeed.
Probably what best we can do right now is some iron sheets and some iron plates set up so they reflect the heat out, and we're only doing like, you know, 100 gallons or less in a small mash tun, because otherwise, yeah, forget it. You're not, you know, the full mash tun would set fire to the wagon, but a small one we can do. So yeah, which means you see apprentices stripped down to their waist, feeding whatever you have for in terms of firewood or whatever to keep that thing going, because it takes about an hour or so to do the proper boil.
I'm just imagining this vaguely polished iron monstrosity with pipes and stuff that is just smoking continually. It's ponderous as it rolls along, and you know, if you'd met Don Quixote, he'd totally think it was a monster of some kind. And I'm sure it casts all manner of horrific shadows along the lamplit subterranean passages.
The real fun part is that we're on the move. We now have to pour out the wort, boiling hot water. Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting, hooking up the pipes and a slew to pour it into a fermenter. That'll be interesting.
There's probably a reason you are last.
Yeah.
The order, because you are the loudest group, subgroup of this expedition.
No, not just that!
There's screaming and there's smoking and you're pouring out scalding hot water, just steaming all over the place.
And hissing like a dragon, for that matter.
Yes.
Well, I may be making
some nog too. Which, in that case, yeah, there's the distillery going as well.
I can see the shitty little goblin tribes in the corner, like they have a dragon with them. I've seen it smoking.
You know, it wouldn't be beyond us to put a figurehead in front of the wagon. Made out of iron.
Eyes that light up, you pull a certain, like, no, or when you step the bells.
Put a lantern behind him or something like that, or, you know, or, yeah. And it vents steam out his nostrils.
Sometimes you have to wonder about dwarven sensibilities. Because I can totally imagine that. Of course they would do something. So what have you done in your idle time? Oh, we've turned it into a glorious dragon. What? That's awesome.
It's the dwarven version of a cuckoo clock, only, you know, a brewery, a mobile brewery.
Yeah, it's like four or five wagons in a row. We had to make a special yoke because we can't have the oxen directly in front of the wagon. They got to be to the side of the wagon to pull it.
I'm sure we can make the snout of the beast tall enough that it will be over the heads of the oxen. So anyone that sees it will see these oxen.
No, being chased by this is for the wagons behind that wagon. Because you got to be able to pour the wort out and that stuff. Yeah, you don't want pouring scalding hot wort on top of oxen.
What wagon is behind it?
No, there's multiple wagons.
Oh, I'm saying it's probably the last one.
No, it's the first one in the row. It's just the first one.
It's the first one in the row of the last wagons.
Yes. Yeah.
At the very back.
So there's the fermenters, there's the barrel storage, and all that good stuff. Of course, the barrel storage right now is just, we're busy, you know, refiring the barrels so they can be used because they're empty. So we're just, you know, refiring them so that they can be help age the beer a bit more.
Running a little light.
As delightfully insane as all this is, I think we maybe should move on to the present.
Yeah, I have to cut out enough beering techno babble.
But this is the good stuff, and I'm actually not talking about making beer. I'm just talking about being insane. I know you can't you can't tell the difference, can you?
Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers@zoho.com or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org, or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.